Really pleased to be able today to talk with you about a program called Operation Military Kids. Larry Mueller here. A couple of people with us to talk about it today. Sue Curtis is a professor of youth development. She's also Operation Military Kids Project Director with UW-Platteville and the University of Wisconsin Extension. Really happy to have her with us, as well as Steve Horvath. Steve is from Wisconsin Rapids, assistant professor, and the Wood County 4-H Youth Development Agent. And he's part of the Operation Military Kids Project. And he's recently returned, as a matter of fact, from a year deployment to Iraq with the Naval Reserve. So really pleased to have them both with us today. A lot of issues to talk about, and I certainly hope as you listen, you'll feel free to join in with your questions or comments. Maybe you have some firsthand experiences, or maybe you have some questions about what you might do to help or how you can help in this whole effort. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Sue Curtis, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
And Steve Horvath, thank you so much for being along as well.
Thank you as well, Larry.
Sue Curtis, maybe you could start by giving us some of the background or the history of this project.
Well, nationally, the partnership started with the Army and 4-H, and the Army was focusing on what they could do to support children, and largely it was active duty servicemen and women, and they looked at military bases, and one of the realities of military families is they move around a lot, and they might move around within the United States. They may even move to Germany or Guam or other places where we have military installations, and the families may live on the installations or nearby. So the kids have to give up their friends frequently, and that's a transition for them. So they thought it would be a great partnership to form 4-H clubs on all of those military installations in the bases, so that when the kids moved from place to place, the one thing that would be consistent was 4-H. It's a great program. It's known for its awesome curriculum, its leadership skills, and also helps kids socially make new friends and adjust to a new environment. And so they decided that it would be a great way to partner. So the one thing that would be consistent as the kids moved would be their opportunity to be involved in 4-H. And it really was so successful that they decided then to look at that other kinds of kids that would have military involvement. And now with the war that we have going on, we have kids who are, their service people are, their parents are either in the reserves or the guard, which means they're geographically dispersed. They're not on an installation. So Operation Military Kids was formed to support those kids.
Okay.
It's a little tougher when kids aren't all on an installation, so you can't necessarily just start a 4-H club to support these kids. We don't even know necessarily where they are, but we know they're out there. It's just that geographically they're in a number of places and in a number of different communities.
Yeah. And Steve Horvath, you have some firsthand experience of your own with your own family in this. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure, Larry. It was actually about a year ago at this time that I was returning with my battalion from a tour overseas, and we were over there about 7 months, and I was on active duty, all told, 10 months. And one of the first family, I guess, events with our kids' school that I attended when I got back was report card pickup night, and this was in Stevens Point. And our two oldest kids are in junior high school, ninth and eighth grade, respectively, this year. Last year they were in eighth and seventh. And as we were going around from one teacher to the next, it struck me that none of the teachers, save one, was aware that I was out of the home and on deployment to Iraq. And it really got me thinking. I started putting a lot of things together at that point. My son certainly, looking back on it now, I believe was impacted. And he was under quite a bit of stress. His grades weren't the best at that point in
time.
They
fell after you,
They were, right, they were down while I was gone. And as time went on, when I got back, I noticed that, lo and behold, he was getting his work done and his grades were going up. And as I said, it really struck me that only one of his teachers was aware that I was gone. And it got me thinking that there's probably a very similar situation going on with lots of the kids and lots of the families who are being impacted by a deployment, in that their teachers may not know that either a mom or dad or a caregiver may be out of the home, and it can really pose some problems for those families.
Yeah, and actually, Sue, you've been working with families probably a couple of years now, haven't you?
In Wisconsin, we started working with kids that were experiencing a deployment about 2 years ago, and my first experience was with the National Guard Family Weekend, and on a Friday evening when the parent dropped off the kids, we had a little boy that was having a really hard time, and so I had a chance to talk with him one-on-one, and he told me about soccer and the things that he was excited about, and I just commented that it must be very hard for him not to have his dad at all of his soccer games. And he said, yeah, that's really hard. And he said it was hard when he wasn't there at Christmas, too. But he said the really hard thing is the fact that I cry myself to sleep every night, and every morning I get up with a sick stomach because I'm afraid that he's not safe, and he was afraid that he might not be alive. So it has a tremendous impact on kids.
So Operation Military Kids, and talk a bit more then about how we're structuring. If you're in a situation where people are spread out all over the place, it's not like at the bases, as you were saying earlier, what kinds of things are you coming up with, or what things have been developed to reach out to those folks?
Well, one of the things, we cooperate with the Reserves and the National Guard to address kids that are in the three stages of deployment. There's a pre-deployment stage where the families have been notified that the serviceman or woman will be activated in the near future. Then there's actually the deployment stage while they're gone. And then there's a reintegration stage when they come back. And so at each of those stages, the children have special needs. And so we try to zero in on those events with those with either the Guard or the Reserves, and the parents come and take place in meetings, informational kinds of things, and then we work with the kids directly. So that would be one of the things that we try to zero in on. And we also have Purple Camps that are targeted specifically for kids who've experienced a deployment. That's a chance so they can rub shoulders with other kids who've walked in their shoes, and they can form a support network. And then I'd say a third issue is to try to raise awareness for all of us about the fact that you may have a neighbor affected. There may be a child in your neighborhood. There may be a child in your church or in your community group. And have you thought a little bit about what you could do to support the child? I think it's a difference in this war with a lot of reserves and National Guard troops, which are geographically dispersed. They're not active duty people. They're civilians most of the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they walk in very different shoes. And so for us as Americans, I think sometimes we don't think about, you know, what those families are experiencing and what an upheaval it must be to all of a sudden have a parent gone from the house for a significant amount of time. And in the past, I think there's been more attention focused on for us to support the war. But right now, and by the war, I mean the troops, the servicemen and women who have to sacrifice and be gone. But most of us just go about our everyday lives, and I don't think we think about the children or the families and what kind of an impact it has on them.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance to join in if you have a question or comment for our two guests today, Sue Curtis and Steve Horvath. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And by the way, you can also email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Before we take some calls, I'll go back to Steve, to you for a minute. Sue mentioned the kind of three stages, and you may be able to talk about that a little bit from your perspective, because you actually had to kind of live through that.
Sure, Larry. I first of all, I want to echo what Sue said about the whole idea of raising awareness among the community and the public, because it really is something that if you're not impacted directly, you don't have much interest in it. You may be an interested sideline viewer, but if unless you're being impacted directly, you don't know what families are going through. And for me, speaking from my personal experience, the stress really starts day one when you learn that you're going to be activated. And it's typically not it's not a surprise. You're built up. You're being told many months in advance that it's likely to happen. When that call finally does come, that's really when the stress starts to kick in. And you may still be at home for several months before you actually leave. But there's a time when you have to share that news with your family and start to prepare them mentally. And, of course, then when you're gone, then routines at the home can, well, obviously they're going to be changing because there's a member out of the household. And that adds a level of stress then. Roles sometimes need to change. Kids are oftentimes asked to take on tasks that they're not used to taking on, all to make sure that the household keeps running. And Sue and I have had many chances to chat, and one of the things that we realize that in terms of the three stages that also needs to be brought out there is that when the member does come home, that's not the day that the stress ends. Just because the fanfare is welcome home and things are back to normal overnight, it's certainly not like that. There's a ramping down of emotion and of stress that occurs in families too. So all that ties together with raising awareness among folks that if you don't have a direct involvement, a family member or whatnot, you can still be of assistance to these families and to these kids particularly who may be going through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take some calls. Keith in Port Edwards, it's your turn. Hi, Keith. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks, Larry. I really enjoy your program. I'm a retired elementary school counselor in the state of Wisconsin. And the first time when Desert Storm came by, we realized it, but there are elementary school counselors in Wisconsin. And as your speaker did say, it's just amazing, you know, the unknown when it comes to kids. But in the 8 years that the storms and in at least the conflict has been here, we've met individually with kids, and we try to make sure that the teachers are aware of the situation. But you know, the other thing is that we're talking about military families, but again, there's a tremendous amount of private contractors over there, and some of the kids that I've dealt with, again, younger kids, you know, they're within a vacuum, because those contractors and stuff, a lot of times, if they're in kind of enforcement, there's not a lot of communication, and those kids are at a loss. And my concern, I think it's great that they, you know, that your guest is starting programs with other kids to support. But I guess my point is too, is the individual psychological stress that children have with, you know, the reservists or military or with contractors.
I thank you very much for calling, Keith. And Sue Curtis, maybe I'll turn to you for a response.
I think any time a parent is gone from the household, regardless of the reason, it's a loss for a child. And we have a huge number of kids that are experiencing this loss right now. And we know that if the children are supported, they can do well. They can come through this, and it's not going to be easy for them, but we know that they're not going to suffer lifelong consequences because of it. We also know that if they're not adequately supported, that can happen. And so I think regardless if it's military kids or the other kids that are there, we need to zero in and make sure that the kids have an appropriate support circle for them to help them deal with this loss during that time.
Steve Horvath, comment from you.
Yes, what I would say is that folks really need to realize, though, that when in terms of a military deployment, mom or dad or the primary caregiver may not be coming back. One school district that I had the opportunity to meet with after I had returned, it's outside of my geographic area, just had a chat with one of the administrators there and was told that in terms of military personnel, we treat those kids the same that we treat families who have got a parent in prison or out of the home, is the term that they used. And I said, well, it's a little bit different in this case because mom or dad or the primary caregiver may not be coming home. And I think that adds a certain greater level of stress to the child. It's not as simple as making a visit outside of the home when mom and dad are overseas.
Sue Curtis is a professor of 4-H development and is Operation Military Kids Project Director with the University of Wisconsin-Platteville and UW Extension. Steve Horvath of Wisconsin Rapids, assistant professor and the Wood County 4-H Youth Development Agent, is also part of the Operation Military Kids Project. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, we'd welcome your calls and your emails. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with you today about Operation Military Kids, our guests Sue Curtis and Steve Horvath, both with UW Extension. Sue is also with UW Platteville as well. Really happy to have them with us. Certainly, if you want to join in with a question or comment, give us a call at, my voice is going here, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got an experience to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. Milton in West Allis, we'll go to you now. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. Thank you to you, Larry, and thank you to your guests for their very valuable work. My youngest brother has been over to the war, and, you know, undoubtedly, if he stays in the military long enough, he'll probably be rotated over there again. He has three little girls that, of course, he loves dearly, and I would really hate to be in his position because in prior wars, when a kid would ask their, you know, their dad, like, or mom, you know, when can you come home, at least one of the answers could be when the war is over. And I wondered if your guests had thought about the question of trying to answer that question now that the answer is the war will never be over. And how old should we, you know, wait in explaining this concept to a child that we're in a war that will never be over?
Hmm. Well, Steve Horvath, let me turn to you first. What do you think?
Well, that's an interesting point, Milton. One of the things that I've said in terms of Operation Military Kids is this is a program that you want to go away because that means that we're done with the conflict and kids are don't need this sort of support anymore. But it's a point well taken that we really don't know when this conflict will end. And I think it just underscores the importance of what we are doing. And again, we've mentioned a number of times already, making sure that folks are aware that there's a group of kids out there that do need some extra assistance, and we're out there to try to provide that.
Yeah, Sue?
At the end of this month, we'll be doing a reintegration event, and I had a call from a mother who talked to me about the fact that her little boy had just a really hard time when his dad was gone. And she said to me, I just want to be sure that in this event that there isn't a lot of discussion about the fact that his dad might be deployed again. And one of the things that, you know, I had to talk to her about is the fact that that is part of the reality of what we do discuss. We talked about those three stages of deployment, but even after a reintegration, we have to let kids know that it's possible their parent will be deployed again. In the situation we're in right now, some servicemen and women have already been deployed twice and may be deployed the third time. So that is a reality that children face who have a parent in the reserves or the guard, is that it can happen again.
Taking a look at it from the other point of view, a parent might say, well, that's just going to make my child all the more nervous and tense, and you're just introducing a new level of tension, the fact that mom or dad might have to go again.
You can't make promises that you can't keep, and certainly that's a reality of being in the reserves or the guard in the situation we're facing today with the war on terrorism. So it's very possible that the parent will go again.
Yeah, and Steve, you wanted to comment too.
I just wanted to add that, again, through Sue and I's discussions, one of the things that I truly believe in is that we're really in the midst of a social experiment here, because we haven't at any time in history had such a great reliance on the citizen soldiers, the guards, National Guards folks, and the reservists. And those folks tend to have established families, and we are already starting to see some impacts on those families through increased divorce rates, child abuse. The kids themselves, of course, are exhibiting more stressful behaviors. So just the idea that we're having such a great reliance on the reserve component of the military, it's hard to say what this is going to end up as.
Yeah. Well, we can take some more calls. Milt, thank you very much for calling. I want to get Palmer in from the town of Vernon online. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, how are you people?
Great, thanks.
Hi, thank you.
I'm a retired elementary counselor, and I'm looking to do something with some of the time I have, and I I'm concerned, very concerned about the kids of military people. I didn't know if there was some way I could get involved or who I could call.
That's a good question, and let's turn it to Steve. You want to start?
Sure. Actually, might be a good time to mention that this weekend, this Saturday, we're holding our state kickoff event for Operation Military Kids, and from that point, it's going to be right here in Madison at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and at that point, we're hoping to get media attention out there and to get some. Get some contacts for folks if they would like. And we can certainly be a direct resource or a direct contact for Palmer if he would like, and we can give him some resources that we've already put together.
Yeah.
Well, that would be great. Would that be something worthwhile coming over for?
Certainly. You're more than welcome to come.
Talk a little bit, stay in line for a minute, Palmer. And Sue, tell us about this event. Give us a little more detail on the event.
The event this weekend is at National Guard Headquarters, 2400 Wright Street on the east side of Madison, and the public is welcome. We will have the governor's proclamation for Operation Military Kids, so there'll be a little bit of a ceremony in the beginning, and the rest of it will be about families and kids, and anybody that would like to come, we'll be talking about the different aspects of Operation Military Kids. We have a Speak Out for Military Kids program. We have an effort with Wisconsin schools. We have a Hero Pack program. We're looking for donors and support of a number of the things that we actually put together, these Hero Packs that we give to kids when their parents are deployed. So in any one of those areas, we would love to have volunteers. So, if you would love to be able to participate this weekend, that would be great. And we can sign you up for whichever one of those efforts you'd be willing to participate in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Palmer, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Do you have a website? Is there a website yet, by the way? That's probably a new, it's maybe too new to have a website, or maybe you're not going to have one.
We actually do have a website, and it has a very long web address, but I think the easiest way to find it is if you just go to the Wisconsin 4-H website, and you can just Google that. If you just put in Wisconsin 4-H, it'll take you to the Wisconsin 4-H website, and it's a page, Operation Military Kids, on the Wisconsin 4-H site, and there's wonderful resources on our site for school counselors, for teachers, for parents, and for kids. And it talks about all of our state team members, all of the efforts that we have ongoing. There's a calendar, so people that would like to participate in an event could get involved, or anyone who would like to make a donation for things to go in the Hero Packs that we give to kids. All of those things are listed on the website. So,
what are some of the things? What does the Hero Pack look like anyway?
It's actually a backpack. We wanted to make it something that's useful for kids, and so it's has the Operation Military Kids logo on it. And most of the things that are in there can relate to school, things that kids would need for school. But we also have things like disposable cameras so kids can take photos and email them to their mother, father that's gone from the home. We have journals where the kids do a lot of writing. Scrapbooking that they can record all of the things that happened, so when mom or dad come home, they can share the things that have happened and make them feel a little bit a part of the things they've missed. And also things that help them build that support network that we talked about. We use personal yellow pages so the kids know if they're feeling stressed or if they really need someone to talk to, who could they call or who might be a neighbor or a friend or a teacher or a support person who would tune in and assist them on a day when things aren't going so well.
So lots in there. And I assume the 4-H clubs around Wisconsin are involved in this.
Yes, and one of the things with a hero pack is we don't mail them. That's not the idea, is to not have that kind of human contact. When we give a hero pack, either it will be at a deployment event where we'll have counselors. A lot of the 4-H kids in the state, the older members, are actually serving as counselors for those events I mentioned in the different cycles of deployment. It's where the university students come in as well. We have a huge component at UW-Platteville and also one at UW-Parkside where the students are assisting with these events as well and helping out directly with the kids. Another thing they're doing is writing letters. When we give the hero packs, they actually have letters in them from college students and 4-H members telling the kids how much we appreciate their sacrifice and how rough it must be for them, and telling the kids that if there's anything they can do to help, that we want to do that. So just letters of support. So a lot of the 4-H kids are active in those types of events, is giving out the hero packs, writing the letters. Sometimes 4-H clubs will also have the opportunity to host a family in their community and make sure those hero packs are distributed and that they can help the kids in any way they can.
Steve, can you add to that?
I wanted to mention that one of the unique things that Extension brings to this effort is that we are in all 72 counties. We have a presence throughout the state. So even though all of the county agents may not be directly involved in Operation Military Kids, we've already put the word out to our colleagues that please, you can be at the very least the ears for us in your communities, because we don't know where units are being deployed throughout the state. It may sound odd, but we don't know what unit at what time is going to be going or coming back, for that matter. To compound the issue, there are a lot of folks who are in units who may be geographically dispersed. And for example, the unit that I was with, we had members in five different states in the Midwest. So there was no fanfare when we left. We all just packed our bags and went to the airport, basically. So Extension is in a very unique position to be able to say, hey, this is going on in the northwest corner of the state or in the southeast corner of the state, and we'd like you to be aware of it so maybe you can do some of the work you're doing through Operation Military Kids.
I also wanted to ask you about, so we've got the hero packs. We've talked about sort of about the three stages. You mentioned purple camps. And maybe you could describe those for us.
In the summertime particularly, and then we've done some on weekends as well, we bring kids together who've experienced a deployment, and they actually participate in a camp in the weekend. And part of the opportunity is to share their experiences with others who've walked in their shoes. And sometimes as part of the camp, they develop videotapes, they do journal writing, they do a number of things then that can be shared throughout the state for us to help raise awareness, and they can also be shared with a parent when they return. One of the things about kids is it's nice if you, at the Purple Camps, if we can have kids who are in different stages of the deployment cycle. One of the positive messages that the kids who are experiencing reintegration can share with the kids who are just getting ready for their parent to leave is, you can make it. You know, it'll be okay. It's going to be tough, but there'll be a light at the end of the tunnel. That's a positive message from someone who's actually gone through the experience. So,
yeah.
And they share emails back and forth and develop a support net among the kids. So the Purple Camps are really a powerful tool to help kids deal with the challenge of a deployment.
Yeah. Steve, comment from you?
I wanted to add too, Larry, that another one of the big programs through Operation Military Kids is a program called Speak Out for Military Kids. Acronym is SOMK. And what that is it's, as Sue is sort of describing, it's peers working directly with their peers. So we have kids that are brought together in groups, given some training, if you will, as to be speakers bureaus, and then they can then go out to these Purple Camps and to the weekend events and so on, and they can work one-on-one with the kids who are about to experience what a deployment's like, or to be able to share experiences that they may have gone through with them with a deployment themselves.
Wondering, you take an issue like violence and terrorism and the war, and how do you talk to kids about that? And I believe you've put together some materials that are helpful for maybe for parents, but also maybe for teachers.
On the website, there's a really nice series, and it addresses specifically how to talk about terrorism, how to talk about the experiences. It's really hard for kids because every day they see things on TV, and it must be traumatic for them to know that they have a parent over there right in the middle of all of that. So some of these handouts focus on how to talk to kids about what's going on over there and how to deal with that on a daily basis. And also some of the things, just the day-to-day kinds of stress, typical kinds of reactions that kids would have to either the violence or also just the loneliness and the sadness of the missing parent. So that whole series of handouts is on the website and are great resources for community members, for teachers, or for parents.
Mm. Steve?
One of the things that I would add, too, in terms of working with young people who may be experiencing a deployment is we need to keep in mind that the different stages of development of the children themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is it's probably pretty typical that an elementary age child will verbalize to their teacher that, do you know my daddy's overseas or my mommy's doing this? But by the time kids get into their junior high years and particularly into their high school years, they're not as apt to share that information.
Right.
So it's that much more important that those around those young people, the people that are around them, have an awareness of what they may be going through.
Jean in Rice Lake, it's your turn now. Jean, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I think the program sounds really wonderful, and I like the scrapbooking idea. Would it be possible to get those scrapbooks sent to the parent that's deployed? It seems like that connection between parent and child would be a really good idea.
Hmm.
Sure, that's certainly possible, Gene. In fact, the mail, sending mail back and forth is actually rather reliable. So that would certainly brighten the day of a parent or caregiver overseas. I know that, and likely put a smile on the face of the child who put together that scrapbook.
And one of the nice pieces of this program is each state is given a mobile technology lab, and at all of our events we'll have a mobile technology lab so that kids can actually take photos and email them to the parent. So there's actually a technology feature that gives us an opportunity to actually send those things.
Mm, that's great. Gene, thank you. Appreciate it. Mary Lois in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Mary.
What I'm calling about, number one, I'm just going to make a statement of what really hit me in my heart. A year ago, my daughter, who was unemployed, and she has a master's in a business program, and she could have gotten a job at Oshkosh Truck here in Oshkosh. And her son, who was a junior at that time, says, "No, Mom, that would be the first place they would bomb if they one of the places, because we are supplying the trucks. Not negatively that I'm saying this, but I, just to show that how this war is affecting not only children with relatives in Iraq, but even the ones back here in Wisconsin, you know, when the, it comes to a situation like that. Number two, is it possible that you can get something like this program you're talking about through the 4-H into the UWO here in Oshkosh? We've got a National Guard group that has been here, gone and back and gone and back, and I'm sure there is a lot of kids suffering.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling, Mary. Steve, comment from you. Can something like that get going in Oshkosh?
It certainly can. And the stage that we're at in rolling out Operation Military Kids is we're really at the very beginning of it. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we're hoping that our colleagues throughout the state will be able to be a resource for us, that they can provide this sort of information. Because, I wasn't aware that there was a National Guard battalion right in the Oshkosh area. It doesn't surprise me, of course, But when we hear from people that this is the situation going on in the community, that's going to allow us then to, we can make a contact with folks from that National Guard unit, for example, or with our colleagues in extension there, that we may be able to partner on some things, a weekend event or something like that, to help those kids out.
Yeah. Sue?
And we do have two really great campuses that could serve as role models. Both UW-Platteville and UW-Parkside have ongoing programs and have, Parkside's been at it for a year. Platteville was on day one and has been working on the program for 2 years. So we have models in place for another campus to easily adapt the kinds of things that are already going on. And we tap, first we started with schools of education, but actually we found that students from across all majors like to be involved in this program and are committed to working with the kids and find it very gratifying. And so I don't think it has to be tied to any particular academic program on a university campus. I think it's pretty much universal.
Yeah, that's great. And would let's go back a minute to the website. You've got the Wisconsin, if you go to Wisconsin 4-H, just put that in a search engine, Google or whatever, and you're going to find Operation Military Kids listed there. And you can click on that and then get what all are you going to, are you going to find some ties to Platteville or to Parkside or
there there's actually discussions, there's web or there's resources on there that will be links to a number of sites. And
okay.
And actually, I guess if you were interested in a university site, you could actually go to the UW-Platteville website as well. And Operation Military Kids is on the UW-Platteville website. It's under the Community University Partnership, and there's all kinds of photos and features of the students working on various projects and the roles that they've been playing over the past 2 years. So if you actually looked at uwplatt.edu, there would be resources for a campus there. On the State 4-H site, each is broken down by categories. So it would be Ready, Set, Go, which is our awareness-raising efforts. SOMK, as Steve had spoken about, programs there. There's the whole section for educators and parents that we already mentioned. The state team, ongoing programs, a calendar for all upcoming events. So you could find out when those purple camps are taking place and things that you could plug your kids into. So lots of resources and links to other programs, color books and things for kids to use, lots of resources on the website.
And we should mention again here, the kickoff event is this coming Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, at 1 to 4, it's out at National Guard headquarters.
In Madison.
It's in Madison, address 2400 Wright Street on the east side of the city. And we'll have a short program with the governor's proclamation and a number of other things introducing the partners and the team members. And then it'll be fun. We have a haunted house and lots of activities and treats planned for the kids and the families who participate.
And even that mobile electronic
the
business.
The mobile tech lab will be there. So there'll be opportunities for kids to use digital cameras and do emails and do some videotaping or whatever they would like to do.
Well, it sounds like a great program, Sue and Stephen. I want to thank you so much for being here today to talk with us about it. Again, probably the easiest, go to that Wisconsin 4-H website and Operation Military Kids, and you're going to find out a whole lot more about this program. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting us.
Time flew. Sue Curtis is professor of 4-H youth development and is Operation Military Kids project director with UW-Platteville and University of Wisconsin Extension. Steve Horvath is an assistant professor and the Wood County 4-H youth development agent, part of the Operation Military Kids project. He recently returned from a year deployment to Iraq with the Naval Reserves. So take a look at that website and see how you might get involved. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a whimsical and entertaining guide to independent coffee shops around the state and nearby with Jeff Hagan. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.